We invite you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. From Luke chapter 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. And yet the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 other days in which to work. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered them, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. She is invisible. It's been 18 years since she looked into anyone's eyes, 18 years since anyone has properly seen her face. She comes and goes into every space practically unnoticed, save for the arch of her back that sticks above the top of her head. She learned long ago that conversation is so difficult as to hardly be worth the effort. Her voice, soft to begin with, is always pointed toward the ground. And few people can be bothered to stoop down close enough to hear what she has to say. So these days, she mostly just keeps quiet. Every now and then, she'll turn her neck to catch a glimpse of the world above knee level, but honestly, it just puts so much strain on her body to look up and sideways out of the corner of her eye. Mostly, it just hurts. I mean, it hurts more than normal because, truth be told, she's in constant, acute pain. The bones in her spine are fused in such a way that if it isn't stiffness that holds her captive, then it's inflammation. And if it isn't inflammation, then it's just fatigue. But really, as hard as all that is, most days she's actually made her peace with the physical pain. This is just her lot in life. The psychological pain, though, that's harder to shake. See, some of the religious leaders told her about 17 and a half years ago that her affliction was a sign of God's judgment on her. And they would know. I mean, who was she to argue? The thought still wakes her up at night. Are they right? Has she done something to displease God? Is that why all the colors of the world have been reduced to the various shades of dirt? To add insult to injury, she's a woman in a patriarchal society. Her voice, her needs, her rights are usually ignored in deference to the men around her. You know, come to think of it, maybe it is true. Maybe God really doesn't care that much about her. But she can't let her mind go there, though. She's determined to fight off despair whenever it crops up. But today she's extra tired. And so she allows herself just a moment. A moment in which she can't stop herself from thinking, "Come one, come all, come and see if you can the amazing, the incredible, invisible woman." I wonder if you know her pain. Do you know what it is to feel invisible at times? I dare say it doesn't take much to go unnoticed from the world around us. Everyone's so busy hurrying through their days, so entranced by their devices to look up and look us in the eyes. Our society, in fact, is practically an invisibility factory. We all share that in common, and yet for some of us, the pain goes deeper. It's in the aches that we carry in our bodies that render us unable to go and do what we want. Or it's in those moments where we wonder if our absence is missed by anyone, if it's even noticed by anyone. It's in the dark corners of our minds when they're stuck in cycles of depression and despair. We ask ourselves, will others ever truly see us? Or maybe even, does God really see us? Does God know? Does God care about what we're going through? Now, maybe we all know something of this pain. I know this pain. I know something of these feelings. Certainly not in the exact same way or to the degree that this crippled woman does, but I've also gone through seasons of life wondering, does God see me? Does he know? Does he care? I know I have felt invisible to the world around me. And when that feeling comes, it's like this oppression that threatens to crush all the life out of me. Do you know this pain? See, this is why I'm so thankful that the gospel writer Luke has recorded this story for us, because I think anytime we can see our pain played out in another person's life, I think it's a grace that God gives to us so that we can realize that, in fact, we are not alone in our pain. No matter how much it can seem like it, we are not the only ones who feel invisible. But whatever feelings we hold toward God about his seeming lack of concern for us, those feelings get challenged when we read this story. Jesus saw her, verse 12 says, and he called her over. Now I imagine Jesus standing in the middle of the synagogue. It's the Sabbath, so everyone's there, all the faithful Jews of that town. He's mid-sentence expounding something profound because, I mean, it's Jesus. Right? And then he sees this woman across the room. It's a small miracle that he does in the first place because she's a woman and they stand in the back and she's hunched over. She's more hidden than the rest. She, of course, cannot see him. Let's face it, it's been 18 years since she saw much of anything besides her own dusty feet. But she could hear him. Except all of a sudden she doesn't hear him. His voice goes quiet. He's stopped his teaching. What she hears instead are the murmurs of people standing around her and the shuffling of their feet as they step aside. And next thing she knows, the teacher's face is in her field of vision, and it startles her a bit. He's leaned over and climbed his face up at her to catch her eyes. Come here, he calls to her, and she follows his feet to the center of the room, to the front of the assembly. Now, here is a place that she has never been before. She doesn't belong here. She's meant to be invisible. But for the first time in 18 years, she's not invisible anymore. All eyes are on her. Now, this woman did not approach Jesus to ask for healing. She wouldn't dare. She knows her place and she plays her part, and nothing whatsoever is mentioned of her faith. This entire initiative begins and ends with Jesus. He's the one who seeks her out. He's the one who finds her. He's the one who sees her. And to those of us who go through life feeling invisible, there can be no greater gift than being seen by someone, really seen. much less seen by God in the flesh. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just stop with seeing her. He also calls to her. And he lays his hands on her. He speaks words of life over her. He sets her free from her bondage. He names her a daughter of Abraham. And in so doing, he restores her to her community. As he so often does, he dignifies her humanity. For 18 years, she's been interacting with people's feet. For 18 years, she has been on the outside, on the periphery, functionally invisible. Today, out of nowhere, the God of the universe stands her up straight, looks her in the eyes, places her in the center of his concern, and makes her visible to her community once more. So I think we can understand that she can't help but burst into songs of praise. I like to think we would too, if it were us. And yet it would not surprise me to learn that this woman may have felt abandoned by God over the years. Just as it would not surprise me that some of us may feel that way sometimes. Yet for those who do know what it is to feel invisible, the promise of Scripture is that you are seen by God and that you don't have to do a thing to get his attention. He is already looking for you. He's already finding you. He's already aware of you. He knows who you are, and his concern is for you. Granted, it may not feel that way much of the time, especially if our suffering runs deep and over a long period of time. And yet, this encounter with Jesus reminds us that our feelings, legitimate as they are, might not always tell us the truth about what God thinks of us and who he is. However, the healing of the invisible woman, this is only one part of the story. Something else is invisible, something crucial. And it's not the woman this time. It's actually the religious leaders, the ones who should see God most clearly, except they don't. Even though they witnessed Jesus perform this miraculous healing, the heart of God remains invisible to them. See, they take Jesus to task with the accusation that he has transgressed against God. He worked on the Sabbath by unbinding this woman from her 18-year affliction. Jesus, in turn, calls them hypocrites, and this is fitting. See, they have no problem unbinding their oxen and their donkeys on the Sabbath to address their affliction of thirst. And yet here before them stands one of their own, a daughter of Abraham who is bound not just for a day but for 18 years, and yet they cannot see that she is worth so much more than their work animals. They care about the unbinding of the lesser when they should be celebrating the unbinding of the greater. But the heart of God is invisible to them. They cannot see it. Which is ironic, really. Because when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, it was precisely because God had rescued them from their slavery in Egypt that he turned around and gave them the gift of the Sabbath. God told them, you are slaves no longer, so you shouldn't act like it. And so every week, you're going to take one day to rest from your work, to play, to delight. Every week, they would reenact their liberation, their unbinding, their freedom. That was the whole point and purpose of Sabbath. Which means that from Jesus' perspective, there could be no better day, no more appropriate time to set someone free from bondage than the Sabbath, the day which celebrates the unbinding of Israel. The religious leaders, though, they must have forgotten their own history because they can't see it. They can't see the heart of God, though it beats in full force right in front of them. They turn to Jesus and accuse him of being a Sabbath breaker. In response, Jesus unveils the invisible heart of God by faithfully fulfilling the Sabbath as God has always intended it. This, he points to the unbound woman, this is what Sabbath is all about. This healing, this freedom, this liberation, this wholeness of life, this restoration of body and community. This is what God desires. This is what he intends for you all. This is the heart of God made visible for all to see. And so there are, church, crucially, two parts to this story. There is the receiving and there is the giving. The first part we already addressed at the beginning. When we feel invisible, when we walk through life unnoticed, God sees us. God takes initiative to call us to himself, to reach into our lives, to speak truth, to even bring healing. And if we come into this space this morning carrying the burden of invisibility, then hear that good news. It's for you. No matter what you feel, you are not invisible to God. But the way that God often communicates that reality to us is through one another. Through the ways that we give visible form to the invisible heart of God. And really, that's the second part of this story. See, notice that Jesus doesn't wait until after service, until he addresses this woman. Neither does he take her into some side room out of the public eye. What he does immediately. And he does in full view of the gathered community because he wants them all to see what the ancient scriptures look like in action. He wants them all to see God's heart for people so that they too might go and share it with others. So anytime that in our day-to-day lives we see others like Jesus sees this woman, then the spirit of our own self-obsession gets liberated. And when we call out to our fellow neighbors, as Jesus calls to her, we affirm God's love for them. Every time that we come close to the invisible of our society and then lay holy hands upon their wounds, as Jesus does, we dignify their humanity. In each instance in which we speak the words of life over others, such as Jesus speaks over this precious woman, we proclaim the good news that God has come near to them and that he desires to see them healed and whole. And when we can name them rightly, as Jesus names this daughter of Abraham, we are insisting that they belong with God and with God's people. Seeing others, calling out to them, offering grace-filled contact, speaking words of life, naming them rightly, these are the practices that Jesus gives to us in order that we might, like him, might go out and give visible form to God's heart. For if we're going to come together as a church and affirm that God is on the lookout for those who walk through life unnoticed, and we claim that we want to join God in what he's doing in our world, then we too must notice the unnoticed. See, I don't think it was an accident that Jesus saw this woman. I don't think he just so happened to catch her form across the room. I think that wherever Jesus went, he actively practiced noticing the people that society dismissed or discarded. I think his senses were attuned to see them because his heart was aligned with God's. He could see the invisible heart of God for the invisible people of this world. And the question is, can we do the same? Can we not only receive the love that God has for us, but can we give it as well? Now, fair warning, we may need to practice this. But what if we did? What if on our drive out to Hidden Lake this afternoon, we took a few minutes to pray to God that he would reveal someone to us who may be feeling invisible, who may be lonely or depressed, who might be cut off from their community because of an illness or a difficulty, who might be overlooked because of our own busyness. What if we asked for God to bring someone to our hearts and our minds, someone like that? And then, here's the thing, what if we actually had the courage to reach out to them this week? Could we do like Jesus has shown us to do and offer some tangible extension of love and care for them? And be as creative as you want here. Maybe it's a phone call or a hand to hold. Maybe it's a gift certificate for no reason at all, or an invitation to go to the movies together. Maybe you cook them a meal so they don't have to. Maybe you write them a letter and fill it with the words of Scripture to remind them that God sees them and loves them and knows them. Jesus is showing us here how to see the invisible. It's up to us whether we open our eyes. Pray with me. Invisible God, made visible in Christ, show us your heart and teach us your ways that we might see you in our neighbors, especially those who walk through this life unnoticed by most. Inform us, we pray, into the kind of community who practice seeing others with your eyes, so that whomever we encounter would know your heart for them through our actions. We pray this in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Spirit. Amen.